To be honest, the music has to last much longer. You can't really get the effect in 10 minutes or so. It's just a little show. There's no absorption. It's meant to go on for like... In the first hour, it sort of catches on. In the second hour, it starts happening. In the third hour, it starts flying. And if you don't believe it, you have to come and try it out. Anyway, the topic is... It's an open topic, and then I wind up, I guess, with consciousness as the key to our perception, as the key to what we experience. Then in the Vedic literatures, there are different levels of consciousness depicted, and we can... Well, we can draw up a pyramid, you know, and like take it up in levels. The lowest level, the bottom level, is described as anamai, or food consciousness, or just basically survival, the struggle for survival. And somehow or other, that's the lowest level of consciousness, survive, and nothing beyond that. And... A level up from there is known as pranamai, and it is relating to how we start to relate to energies and people, living beings, everything that's alive, how we relate to it. So relationships is really the second tier of our pyramid, where we are, when it's just survival, it's about us. And when it's about relationships, then it's more than that. Then it's us in the environment, how we interact, what are the benefits, what we give, what we take. The lower end of relationships is about taking, the higher end of relationships is about giving. The third level is where we start to look for a purpose into everything, where we're not just saying like, okay, I'm here to survive, I'm here to relate to my environment. But beyond that, what's the purpose of it all? That question is the stage of inquiry, in Sanskrit known as jnanamai. Inquiry means then, what's the meaning of life? Where am I going? What is the... what are the dynamics that I'm caught in? Because you can't really say, what am I going to make of my life, if it was so simple, right? If it was that simple, we wouldn't be here. Rather, we are here because we are part of a pre-designed world that sort of has chalked out a path for us, and we're a certain age, and then education. And that's what it's about. It's not that we have invented it. It's been invented for us. They told us that this is what you're supposed to do. So the point is that things are... we are not free. So when we start to inquire into what is the purpose, then we realize that, first of all, we're limited. We're limited. Things are not just... You're not free to do with your life what you want. We're limited. We're limited by many things. We're limited by our physical limitations. We need air, we need water, we need food, we need shelter, we need so many things. Clothes, and then money. Right? So many needs. We're limited by time. It's like, what can be said? It's amazing how much influence time has. You know, it's like how with age, how much the body changes, and how in the mind, which is the subtle body, how much we change our capacity. Enormous. And also, internally, how much we change. kid has so much energy, unlimited energy, can run up a hill 10 times for no reason, for no other reason than just running. Yeah? So what did he gain from running up the hill? Just the feeling of having that unlimited energy, running up and down, running up and down. So it's like, I would go up if you'd pay me for it. Okay, I'd go 10 times if you pay me well. Yeah? But otherwise, why would I go up that hill? Yeah? No way. So, we see in youth so much energy, but not so much mentally, not so developed, not so much intellectually, not so developed, not so much discrimination, not so clear in the goal. With time, much more clear about the goal, but less energy. So, in Gyanamoy, in that stage, that third stage, the stage of inquiry, we begin to explore what we want to achieve in life, why we want to achieve, what is the goal, and what are our limitations. So many people set so many goals, and then lower goals are in meeting our gross bodily needs. That's the lower end of the goals. The higher end of the goals is more happiness, a higher level of goals in relation to happiness is that happiness becomes more inclusive, not only our own happiness, but also the happiness of others. See, when it's only my happiness, and everyone else is sort of, well, can be exploited and used for my happiness, that's a lower level of trying to be happy. The higher level of trying to be happy is where I consider my happiness, your happiness, and the happiness of everyone, and try to act for the benefit of all. Then we're coming to a more enlightened stage. So that's when we start looking at needs on a higher level, when we are aiming for the happiness of all. One who begins to realize ways to do so comes to the fourth stage. At this stage, it has to get spiritual. At this stage, there has to be some concept of divinity, some understanding of a divine plan behind the whole universe. Otherwise, one can't really break through to a fourth level of consciousness. It's really there where God comes in the picture, and as not only a personality seated on a cloud with a long beard and sending down thunderbolts on the sinners, but possibly also a little bit as a divine source of all the energies that we are perceiving, as the source of nature, as the plan behind nature, as the as the intelligent design behind whatever is going on. So that comes in the fourth stage, where one begins to realize something about God. I'm thinking then about Carl Jung, who in an interview was asked, "Mr. Jung, would you say that you believe in God?" That's sort of a basic question when you interview Carl Jung, because everybody knows that Jung was very religious. Right? So then Jung said, "No, I don't believe in God." The interviewer was shocked. Shocked. How can he say this? Jung, you know, what happened? Did he lose his faith? Then Jung said, "No, I don't believe in God. I know that God exists." Now we've come to fourth level. On the fourth level, we begin to not only have belief, But on the fourth level, it goes beyond belief. It goes to the level of experience. So here we break through into a mystic realm. The mystic realm where there is an experience of some higher reality, where there's an experience of divinity, not just theory. So in level, we again, I quickly do a resume now in numbers. Level 1, basic survival instinct. Level 2, relationships. Level 3, inquiry. And level 4 is actually a knowing of the mystical reality and having an experience of divinity. That's level 4. Level 5 is having full experience of that, of living in that reality, not like having just some realizations of it, but level 5 is one lives in that spiritual identity. One is in this world as a liberated soul. One is here and one is not here. Externally one may be here, but internally one is in an eternal spiritual reality. So these are kind of levels of consciousness that are depicted in the Vedic literature. You see, most people will never get above the first three levels. That's the best. Right? When you're on level 3, you're counting as an enlightened, cultured personality. When you're on level 1 and 2, then you're just an average person. Right? You know, a lot of people never get beyond 1. Right? They're just trying to survive. Put an elbow here, put an elbow there, or something stronger, whatever it takes to get what you want, and basically to survive. And to survive nicely, if possible. Then relationships, who cares about those things? Right? That's for suckers. But on level 2, something comes in, an understanding that, like, you know, if I do it to others, they will do it to me. So on level 2, we get social and we begin to understand. If I am positive towards others, then something positive will come back to me. What you give is what comes back, ultimately. All right, so then we get a much more social. Then we're looking at happiness together. Together, we'll try and be happy. But of course, generally speaking, we'll try and look for happiness together, but there's still some remnants of one. So we're all equal, but some are a little more equal than others. As to quote Orwell, right, in The Animal Farm, yeah, where all the animals kicked out the farmer and they all became equal, but then the pigs started to walk on their hind legs at one point and moved into the house and started to manage the farm. And then all the animals objected. I thought we were all equal. Yes, we are all equal. But some are more equal than others. So just see. So in relationships, still an exploitive, selfish element remains. As we go up through the levels from 1 to 5, at the lower levels, It is total selfishness. It is just selfishness. And as we go up towards higher levels, selfishness disappears and it becomes selfless. In the highest levels, 4 and 5, where we are really reaching out to, in 4 we're reaching out, and in 5 we're fully experiencing a spiritual experience, then one becomes totally dedicated to the welfare of others. And then we see, like, look at a personality like Jesus. You know, we would clearly put him at level 5, right? As saying, as a person who just gives his whole life, everything, his whole being, there's no selfishness. He wasn't in it for the business. That was clear. So, and of course, all saintly persons we put there from different traditions of the world. And that is the point. So, now that I came upon the topic of saints, right, or saintly personalities. Well, you know, there are dictionaries that have been made of saints. Right? You can look on your iPad and you can download apps on saints. Right? I did, because I'm interested in stuff like that. And then you get your Christian saints, or you can download stories about Islamic saints. We had an interesting story about some lady, a female saint in the Islam tradition, who in the morning came out of her house carrying a bucket with fire inside and another bucket with water. And people saw her and said, oh, what you gonna do with all that, with that fire and that water? She said, with that fire, I'm going to burn heaven. And with this water, I'm going to put out the fire of hell. I said, oh, you're gonna burn heaven. He said, yes, I'm going to burn heaven, because most people are only interested in spirituality because they can attain heaven, and others are only into spirituality because they're afraid to go to hell. So I'm going to burn heaven and put out the flames of hell, so that people can actually take up the real purpose of religion, which is to develop love of God. So that's something about saints. So we find a cross-cultural, cross-tradition phenomenon called sainthood. Right? You find it in India, you have the Santas. In America, you have Owen the Saints. And somebody told me the other day that Jesus will come back in the form of Martin Luther King. And so, what can I say? Everywhere there are saints, right? All over the world, there are saints in different cultures. But still, you know, in the Catholic Church, you burn a candle for a saint, and different saints, they give you different blessings for different things, right? There was one saint they pulled out as a martyr. You know, these Catholic saints are often martyrs, and in one case, they pulled out all his teeth. And then when you have a toothache, you go and pray to him. So you can see that that's sort of kind of the lower end of relating to saints again. But higher level of sainthood is those who work to uplift everyone else. Imagine if the purpose of this university would be that, the upliftment of mankind. What an enlightened institution this could be. Alas, the purpose of this university is to make a buck. Right? And it absolutely has no other purpose at all. It is about as many bucks as possible. And that's the connection with this place. So, interesting. So we could place, with that, we could place the universe, the university, probably on level 2. Right? We could probably see that it's interested in exploiting the social environment in some way or other, and that's what we're learning, how to exploit it better in some means or other. Well, saints are way beyond that. That's why maybe you won't find too many saints in a university. Saints are on levels 4 and 5. Right? They are God conscious, and they work for the welfare of other living beings. Now, the interesting point is it is described that actually sainthood, which is a rare thing, is really the normal state of consciousness. If you look at some Vedic texts will say that anybody who is not a saint, right, according to Vedic text, is actually insane. It says that's an insane state. So below 4 and 5, is actually not completely there, is sort of considered to be a form of insanity. Going by those definitions, I guess this particular institution would also be linked to insanity then. What can I say? Possibly then it would be some sort of mental hospital by these definitions. So yes, sainthood is the normal, is the norm, and not the exception. And that is really what life is meant for. Saintly parents with saintly children, living in a saintly street, right, with like lots of, where things are, imagine if the world would be saintly. Locksmiths would go out of business, that's for sure. Nothing, no need to lock any doors. No need to even lock your car. Would we even need cars in the first place? I'm not sure, right? Would we have to race around? Tomorrow I'm going to fly to Australia with neck-breaking speed. I mean, these planes are very large, and the fastest I ever flew was 1,240 k's an hour in one of these flights to Australia. So they're very fast and very big. I don't know what it does to you, but when you land on the other side, you're not quite, although it looks as if you're there, you're not quite sure if you're there. You sort of landed, but it feels like part of you is not yet arrived. I can tell you, I've done that before. So. Yes. So we're living in a world where symptoms of madness indeed are manifesting in our lifestyle. Huh? You are having a nice lunch there, and I hope there's enough pepper and salt, because there are no pepper and salt shakers on the table. Oh, and I forgot the spray can called Doom, you know, with pesticides, by which you can spray your plate anytime. Pesticides? What's he talking? No. I mean, you know, how could you eat it without? No, don't worry. We don't have to put any spray cans on the table because it's already pre-sprayed. Sorry about that. Anyway, so is it mad or is it not mad? Saintliness would really not dump huge quantities of radioactive material right here off the Cape into the ocean. Cuba. No. Saintliness would not do so. Because in saintliness, how much electricity do you need? Right? So, we can see. Today, I wanted to introduce the levels 4 and 5 as the topic of interest. 1, 2, 3. We've seen it so many times, right? You know, just brutal survival, and the rat race, and name it, you know, all that. Or, you know, love, level 2, such a splendid thing, for a while. It starts with courting and ends in court, and, you know, it's just what can be said, right? Oh dear, yes. Or as the poet said, when you meet a person, you fall in love. You meet someone who has qualities as wide and expanded as an ocean. After a little while, you realize it was only, you walked around, you realize it was only a pond, and you could never care to see that person again. Falling in love and falling out of love. Yes, questions are coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, call in any time.
my question is a two-part question. Firstly, necessary killing affect consciousness? Secondly, does that necessary killing affect it? Does it affect karma positively or negatively? Mm-hmm. By that, by necessary killing, I mean something like, let's say for example, I'm in my room, I see a snake, and there's really no way I can actually pick up the snake and free it out. Or let's say for example, an animal that's dying, but it's not yet dead, it's in pain, and you, I know that it's going to die, but you know, I wanna, like, let's say for example, kill so that you do not prolong its pain, so to say.
Fill it up. Yeah, well, okay. Necessary killing, does it give reactions on the consciousness or not? It's a big question, what is necessary? You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing. I might say that it's necessary to kill all people over 60. Right? They're just a burden on society. And actually, after that, after 60, believe me, it's downhill. It's downhill. They just suffer. And you know, in a pleasant way, no, in a pleasant way, really, you know, in their sleep, they just go to sleep at night and they just never wake up in the morning. And so they pass away without even knowing it, and it's totally not painful, and very pleasant, and so on. And we save them so much suffering. It's very necessary. So the big question that first arises, what is necessary killing, and who determines what necessary killing is? And if someone else determines that it's necessary for me to be killed, then I don't like it. If the meat eater decides that it's necessary to kill animals, all right, but let's ask the animals. And they probably would say, well, I think it's an interesting concept. I mean, sort of very nice, but I think I opt out. So, what is necessary killing? That's the first question. All right, so, but let us say there is something like necessary killing or authorized killing, killing that is acceptable. Let's say in self-defense. That's okay. The guy comes in, you know, the AK-47, and somehow or other I managed to throw a kitchen knife, and although I never hit a target in my life, it works. Miracle, you know. And it saved the day. And I get a few years extra in my life. Now, do I get a reaction for that kitchen knife? And only me, or even the guy who made the kitchen knife, does he also get a reaction for it? Yes, well, it is said that if you kill one who is trying to kill you, there is no reaction. If you kill one who steals your land, no reaction. If you kill one who steals your riches, no reaction. If you kill one who steals your wife, no reaction. Okay, we're getting in big trouble here. I can see it coming. Gonna see some corpses in this university soon. Someone who set fire to the house could also kill him without karmic reaction. Of course, there may still be a social reaction. The government may still lock you up and all these things, but there's no karma involved, and your consciousness is not contaminated by it. Of course, anyway, we avoid killing. A saint goes beyond that. A saint avoids killing. There's also a famous story of Alexander the Great, who walked into this particular town, and there's a saint, and the whole town is empty. And Alexander was used to it. He never walked in a town that was full. Whenever he walked into town, it was empty. People had fled before he arrived. So there's this one man sitting in the town. And Alexander looks at him like, doesn't he know who I am? And he says, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? He pulls his sword. Don't you know that with this sword, I can just pierce you in a moment, take you out? And the person says, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that even if you pierce me with that sword of yours, that I will totally not be affected by it? Because I cannot die. So Alexander sat down for a while and said, well, who's this? Who's this? So saints are not so interesting with killing or not killing. They try not to kill bodies as much as possible. But they know that the soul cannot be killed. So that's more important. So the killing or not killing is really a question that comes up from level 2, and then we inquire about it in level 3. But on level 4 and 5, we try not to kill, and we know the soul can never be killed. And don't start killing people that steal your life, because in this age. Any other questions? I don't know if this is interesting as a topic, but I'm trying to sort of introduce a simple pyramid of 5 levels. This is basically found in the Bhagavad Gita, these 5 levels of consciousness, which Bhagavad Gita is a summary of the Vedic literature. And just to make it a little more accessible to us, I put it into a pyramid and I put some numbers on it. So yes, we want to go to the topmost levels, and I guess that's the kirtan. The kirtan is bringing out awakening of these higher meditations. By kirtan, our consciousness is uplifted from the and gradually coming to a more and more selfless platform. It's 1:45. The time is up. Time flies. And think about it. At the end, I'll summarize it one more time. One, survival. 2, relationships. 3, inquiry. 4, mystic experience. 5, being on the full platform of saintliness. That's where we should go. So, the knowledge that is there in the Vedic literature helps us to rise in these 5 levels. And then we can do the best thing you can do with your life. Make the best contribution to the world, and therefore become the most satisfied persons. Well, if I outsmart you and I rip off your money, right, I feel some happiness, I've got the cash, but there's something else in me that's sort of that I have to sort of put to sleep, some feelings of guilt for being ruthless. So in this way, most people live with a mixed agenda and with mixed feelings. But at level 5, one is free from guilt, one is free from any sense of failure. Life is a complete success. Therefore, it's the best. Okay. We have to go.